Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm with Bo Caldwell, CFP, and Chuck Price, founder and author of Investing Simplified, the book, and the number one bestseller, Your Retirement Made Simple. Chuck Price has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investing in retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America with a financial advisor, and now a CFP, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and comes to you live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. You can contact Bo or Chuck by visiting pfgwm.com. Or you can email them with a question at ask@pfgwm.com. Or you can call them right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. And for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, good morning and welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the opportunity for you to pick up that phone, ask that question that's been keeping you up at night. And if you're not familiar with our show, we're actually presented to you live on the air to answer your questions. My name is Chuck Price. I'm president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. And in studio today with me, I have co-host Kevin Stege with the Baker Colson CPA firm.
Hello, Chuck.
Hey, Kevin. We're going to have an exciting show. Hopefully, we're going to get lots of calls and lots of questions. We have in studio with us a guest who's going to talk about PERS, and he is a consultant, Brian Harrington. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chuck. Good morning.
And we hope a lot of you people out there, look, 9% of the people in the state of Oregon are in the PERS system. There's 367,853 members in it. 132,628 are drawing retirement. This is a chance, if you're a PERS person and you have a question, this is your opportunity to call in today and ask those questions. But before we talk about PERS and before we talk about taxes or anything else, I want to talk about the market. I hear all this stuff on the news, and it sounds like Armageddon. It sounds like the world is falling apart. Well, unless you live in a frickin' cave, and unless you only listen to news people that don't know what the hell they're talking about, here's the facts about what's really going on in the economy. Take a guess what the market's up year to date. The S&P is up year to date 13.57. If you listen to the news last night or yesterday, you would have thought the world was falling apart. You would have thought we were in a deep recession. Folks, we are far from a recession. In addition, the S&P is up right now, year-to-date, 13.57. The Dow Jones is up 9.87. And as I reported 2 weeks ago and 4 weeks ago, and I'm reporting again now, the national deficit is actually less today than it was on July 26th. Think about that. We're almost a whole month, and the national debt is actually lower. Have you heard that on any show? Have you heard that on any financial show? Have you heard that on any of the networks? No. What you hear is they want a frickin' recession. We got people actually on the air who want a recession. Can you imagine? You know, for all those people who were out of work for, you know, 3.5, 4.5 years, I don't think any of them want to go back to a recession. You know, and I got to tell you, the problem in America is politicians. I don't know why this country has become so Democratic Republican when the reality is we ought to all be Americans. We ought to all be pulling for Americans. You know, why is this big conquer and divide? It's like the only time most of us think about race is when the politicians bring it up. In our daily life, you're dealing with people of multiple nationalities. Do you really think about it? I don't. I mean, I never think about it until I hear some bozo on the air talking about it. It's crazy what we're doing in this country. But listen, if you're not investing in the market, and if you are investing in the market, yesterday, I believe, was a buying opportunity. The market's going to fluctuate, and yeah, we had an extreme fluctuation Friday, no question about it. And if you've listened to my show for all the years we've been on the air, I've always talked about volatility, and I've always talked about any time you see the market fluctuating by more than 1 to 1.5% in a day, that is volatility. Well, I got news for you. Friday was a roller coaster. The S&P was actually down 2.59%. However, what do you think the Dow, the S&P has returned to investors since 12/31/99? Got any idea, Kevin?
10% per year.
Okay. Brian, you want to guess?
12%.
How about 5.03?
Okay.
You know, how about the NASDAQ? The NASDAQ's the high flyer, right? Small stocks, big gains. What do you think the NASDAQ has actually paid out, returned to the investor, since 12/31/99?
8%.
Whoa! Come on, man. You've been listening to the show. 4.85.
Oh, okay.
The thing is, investors need to have realistic expectations of the return they're going to get on their portfolio. What do you think the Dow Jones has paid out since 12/31/99?
4.84.
Round up 5.
See, I suckered you both in on that one because historically the S&P and the NASDAQ outperformed the Dow. But not now. Not in the new economy. The Dow was actually up since 12/31/99, 6.59%. Almost 40 to 50% better than the S&P and the NASDAQ. And why would that be? Why would it be? Well, I wished I knew. If I knew, I'd write a book and become a millionaire. The thing is, the big sluggish stocks have outperformed the high flyers. The S&P 500, which is the broadest of the indexes, which is 500 growth stocks, you would think would be totally smoking everything else. But you know what? What most Americans forget, and I got to say this, and here's the problem in politics and finances. People have short memories. For example, everybody blame the Democrats all blame Bush for the recession, and Obama blames him for the recession in 2008 when he took office. That was all set up by Trump. I mean, it's not Trump. Yeah, might as well. He probably get the blame for that too. But it was Bush's fault. But the problem is, everybody forgets that March 15th of 2000, William Jefferson Clinton was president of the United States. Do either one of you gentlemen know what happened on March 15th, 2000, when Bill Clinton was president?
I made my first retirement contribution and bought my first stock.
Well, that probably happened too.
Yeah,
and that was, and that was, I hope you continue to do that.
And that was terrible timing.
Well, here's the thing. March 15th of 2000, yeah. Bill Clinton was president. The tech bubble blew.
Burst. That's right.
The NASDAQ never recovered for 15 freaking years. And I've never heard one financial network ever say that. Bill Clinton caused the recession. Did he? No, they blamed it on Bush. Bush took over in January of 2001. 9 months later, we had a thing called 9/11. Now, was that Bush's fault or was that Clinton's fault? Well, if you're a Democrat, you say, oh, it's Bush's fault. If you're a Republican, you say, oh, it's Clinton's fault. Here's the fact, folks. President of the United States does not make the law. They do not make the law. Congress makes the law. The Senate makes the law. The bills and the repercussions. The fact is, the stupid things we did in the 90s when Bill Clinton took over a roaring economy, the stupid things we did is what caused the recession of 2008 and also caused the tech crash of 2000. The thing is, those things are going to happen. And it's just like right now, we've had a really good up market since about 2008. The problem is, if you had invested the day before the crash, everybody's talking about the rate of return of the market from the low point, not the high point. If you go back and you look at the day before the crash, which actually happened back on 10-7 of 07, it didn't actually happen in 08. It happened in 07. I hear everybody saying 08, 08. It actually happened. The actual crash started in 07. If you had actually invested that day to right now, you've had a return on your money in the S&P of 6.9%. Now, that's not bad. And if you took a look at the Dow Jones over that same period of time, going back to 07, it's now, got to find my numbers here. I lost my numbers here. Okay, how about 6.82%? The point I'm saying is, if you listen to the news, the people on the news to get your financial information, there's a great thing out there, folks, called the internet. There's a great thing out there called memory. If you're old enough to remember, you can get through the BS, because there's a lot of news people that rewrite history. They rewrite it all the time. They make statements all the time that are totally unfactual, untrue. So just beware, be smart, and look at what you're investing in and check out the companies you invest in, because you know, you don't want to get that email that says, hey, the Nigerians got $20 million. They're going to transfer into your bank account. All you need to do is to give them the right banking information, and you will become, they'll give you a million of the 20 just for transferring the funds. Yeah, and I got a bridge I will sell you real cheap. The fact is, the best defense you have and I have as an investor is our own intelligence. Check it out. Don't listen to the news. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to anybody. Check it out for yourself, because knowledge is power. Speaking about that, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about a little bit about a tax investigator, and then we're going to get into PERS and talk about PERS. And I would suggest anybody out there, if you know anybody that's working, that's on PERS, they should be listening to this show. This is going to be a great informational show. If you've got a question, we welcome your calls. You can reach us at 503-417-9595. Toll free, 877-733-1011. We're going to talk about PERS, and we're going to talk about the reality of PERS and the actual facts about PERS. So stay tuned and come right back. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Colson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin, 503-417-9595, or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified, and I'm sure you're sufficiently riled up after that first 15-minute segment from Chuck. But we'll move on to calmer waters here with the tax investigator, and then I think is going to be some great information here from Brian Harrington here on Person. It's a great chance to give him a call, and he's worked with them for over 30 years in a pretty high capacity. So we do have a great expert here dialed in on this, and this will be a good segment. So we want to get to him fairly quick. So I'm just going to briefly leave you with a little, maybe framework for your tax planning. This is something I like to circle back on maybe once or twice a year, and I haven't done it in some time. And this is just from my own experience. When a tax planning situation comes up, how do I look at it as a tax professional? What are the ways? And I think most of most CPAs and tax professionals do this, whether they consciously go through this framework or not. But generally, trying to get some tax savings on a transaction, I start out with basically I have three ways to save taxes. The first way is I try to find out, can I exclude this transaction? Can I not have to recognize it? Can I not even have to put it on my tax return? What other than fraudulently omitting it, obviously. Can I legally not have to report this on my tax return?
Glad you made that clear.
Exactly. Yeah. So the first way we try to save taxes, and the best way, is can we exclude it? Is it an excludable transaction? Section 121, home sale exclusion. There we go. There's an example. Maybe you have a foreign income exclusion. You've worked overseas. You properly put this down, and you can exclude that income. Maybe it's muni bond income from state muni bonds, tax exempt, federal and state. So those are some examples of structuring your transaction to be able to exclude it from income. That's the best and number one way to not have to, obviously, pay taxes on it if it's not on your tax return. Second way is if this is a reportable transaction, the second way here is we like to try to see, can we defer the taxes? And that's going to be such things as your 401k, retirement contributions. You're basically putting taxable money into a retirement account, and you get a deduction for it. And now you are basically deferring the taxes to a later time. That there's many, we won't go into the benefits of deferring, but deferring is a good thing. For businesses, we tend to try to take accelerated depreciation on equipment, new equipment. End of the year, you've got some profit, you buy a piece of equipment, you deduct the full cost. Maybe you bought it on time, so you haven't even paid cash for it. So you're effectively deferring income into a future year. A 1031 exchange, another way to defer. So deferring is our second method. First, exclude. Second, defer. And third, if you have to report it, can't defer it, it's got to go on your taxes this year, can we change the nature of how it's taxed? Short-term to long-term. Maybe it's holding it an extra few months to get into long-term capital gains rates as opposed to short-term rates. Maybe we're structuring a sales transaction. You've sold your business. Can we allocate more of the sales price from sale of equipment to maybe sale of goodwill? Equipment probably has depreciation recapture that's taxed at ordinary rates, and goodwill is going to be long-term capital gains. So here we've sweetened the nature of the type of income. Maybe we're changing it. We're going from passive to active income, or active to passive, or self income subject to self-employment tax, to income not subject to self-employment tax. Maybe that's paying a younger child some money from your business and effectively getting it out of SE taxation. So there's our little framework: exclude, defer, or change the nature. And if not, at that point, you're paying your full rate. So that's the tax investigator for today. So let's get on to Purse.
Well, you know, Brian, one of the things we like to do on our show is to bring information to our listeners that they don't have another way of getting, or that maybe they haven't heard about. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show was with the fact that about 9% of the population are involved in PERS, I think it's some very valuable information. Now, I just want to say right up front, there's been a lot of news about PERS, good and bad. Today what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the retirement aspect of it and all the people who are involved in it, how the system works and how Brian could, as a consultant, can help those people. But, you know, when I think about PERS, and I know that a lot of our clients come into us, they're going to retire from PERS, and I've said on the show numerous times, it's very difficult to tell somebody at PERS to take your money out of PERS and use a different retirement vehicle, because the PERS retirement plan, I personally think, is one of the best plans around. They've done an excellent job investing. They've done an excellent job in reporting. Now, I know, you know, we're probably going to get a caller or two who may want to call in and say, well, PERS is broke. They're not broke. They're not broke. And they've made some major changes in the program to solve that problem down the road. So with that as a preface, we're going to kind of start talking about PERS, and we're going to go right into it by asking Brian a few questions and maybe kind of bringing things up that you, the listener. But I'll tell you what, the real important thing is we can sit here and talk for the next 40 minutes and not take a breath. But the reality is, all you people out there who are on PERS who have questions, pick up that phone and give us a call. Ask a question. You know, there is no foolish question when it comes to your money or your retirement plan. 503-417-9595. Toll free 877-733-1011. And I think the biggest one I'm going to ask you right up front here, which I think is really good. How does somebody who's on PERS, how do they check on their accounts? How do they access their accounts to get an idea of what they're going to have for retirement?
Well, you can go into the PERS website, and you can click on Online Member Services or OMS. I think they have it listed both ways. And you can set up an account. You put a username in and a password. And if you're an active, inactive member, you can view your account balance, your service time, your salary history. And if you're a retiree, you can look up what your gross benefit is, what your tax withholding is, and you can change your tax withholding once a year if you want to, up or down or whatever. So they've got a pretty good view into things. And as far as active members, again, you can do your own estimates. So you can do the what-ifs. PERS only knows where you're at right now, but you know maybe you're going to leave or get a job somewhere else or what your salary is going to be. PERS doesn't have that until it's actually reported in by the employer. But you can do your own scenarios and as many estimates as you want. PERS, you have to be within 2 years of retirement age, and they'll only give you two a year. And I do recommend everybody get an official one from PERS, but you can do your own estimates online all you want.
Okay, so it as long as you're 2 years away or closer for retirement,
PERS will do the official one for you.
They'll do the official one for you.
But you can go online and do all the ones you want, your own what-ifs, as well as view, like I said, salary and
sounds good.
Account balance.
Well, I thought I would just briefly let our listeners know about what a resource this is that we have in studio here with Brian. He is recently retired from a high level with the PERS program and has started his own company called the Public Employee Benefit Consulting LLC, and it fit right in with what he did with PERS, retiring as the Systems Assistant Chief Operations Officer, responsible for all benefit calculations and daily operations. So this is a great time to give us a call, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. And so another question that I think that comes up is, how does a member know what program they are in?
That's a good question. There's three programs, by the way, and how they know is if you were hired before January of 1996, you're what they call a Tier 1 member. If you're hired between 96 and August 2003, you're in Tier 2, and after August 2003, you're in the Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan, also known as OPSERP. Now, Chuck, you mentioned about hard to tell somebody to take a lump sum, although that is an option, monthly benefits, lump sums. What a lot of members and people don't realize is there's actually a sub-program that's called the Individual Account Program, and that started at January 1st, 2004, and that's where everybody's 6% contributions go. Whether you pay them or they're paid by the employer, that's where they're deposited.
Yeah, the IAP.
Yes. IAP, yep.
Yep.
So
And that's the part that we do recommend they roll over.
There you go.
Yep.
So you could take monthly from PERS, you could take a lump sum and roll over from IEP.
Well, Brian, we're going to hold off just one second here. We've got a caller. Carol's got a question about investing. Carol?
I'm a beginner. Thank you for taking my call. I'm not even sure if I know how to ask this question appropriately, but you said there is one of the three indexes that is best. Now, did you say the Dow was the best one? Is that what you said?
What I was saying is that since the turn of the century, the Dow has outperformed the S&P and the NASDAQ.
Now, would you be able to tell me how I'd find, how do you find the funds that belong to that?
You can go to Yahoo Finance or any of the other financial sites for free, and you can just simply ask the question there, list the companies that are in the Dow Jones or the companies that are in the S&P, and it'll list them all.
All right.
Yep.
Are they rated in terms of safety in anywhere, or just the name?
Well, okay. First of all, when you invest in a stock, there are no guarantees. So when you say safety, it's up to the individual investor to check out the companies that they're investing in to make sure the companies are making money and are doing what they say they should be doing. And that's what the SEC checks on as well. But normally speaking, companies that are in the Dow Jones, and the last time I remember looking at it, I think they represent about 75% of the net worth of the entire stock market. So those 30 stocks that make up the Dow Jones are the 30 biggest in the country.
Okay. Well, that's helpful. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Good question, Carol. Thank you.
So I'll continue with Brian, and he brought up the different accounts, and he brought up Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3. And I hear that with my clients, Brian. My older retirees will sometimes mention that they were Tier 1, or my newer retirees, or maybe in the later ones. What are the differences between those tiers? What do those mean?
Well, one of the things is retirement age. Tier 1, early retirement's age 55, and full retirement's age 58, or any age if you have 30 years of service. I've seen people, they started when they were 19, they retired when they were 49.
Okay.
30 years. And again, we don't make the laws, right? We enact them.
That's right.
So Tier 2, full retirement age is age 60. The option of the newest plan, that's actually, 15 years old now? It's a new plan, but it's 15 years old.
Okay.
Full retirement age is age 65. So it's kind of, Chuck mentioned earlier, that they've made changes. That's one of them. The legislature has increasing the retirement age. Another one is in Tier 1, you have three formulas that we calculate benefits by, and that's a popular myth out there that we choose the formula. We don't. We run the numbers. Whatever the highest formula is, that's the one you get. We don't pick it. You don't pick it. Tier 2, you have two formulas, and OPSERP is just one. It's just a defined benefit. You don't even have an account. It's just a pension formula, 1.5% times your final average salary times your years of service. So they've raised the retirement age, and they've done away with some formulas or lowered the multiplier, if you will, for the. So that's some of the differences between the programs.
Okay, we're going to grab another call here. We've got a call from Sherry asking a question about gross income. Sherry?
Yeah. I wanted to know, how is the gross income calculated when you sell a rental property that's investment that's going to have a long-term capital gain? Does the sale price of the home, does that go into your gross income, or is it just used for calculating capital gains?
It's just used for calculating your capital gains. The sales price is the gross income, but ultimately the gain or loss is what's going to hit the front page of your tax return, and that's what's going to go into your adjusted gross income for tax purposes.
So I just so I understand you clearly, the gain on the sale of the property gets added to your other incomes and becomes part of your gross income. Is that correct?
That's right. Part of your adjusted gross income for tax purposes. Correct.
Okay. So then when the capital gains is calculated based on the percentage of that you have to pay for capital gains is based on your gross income. So included in your gross income is the sale of the property gain.
That's exactly right. You're probably angling, you know, if your taxable income is for a married couple under $75,000, capital gain is going to have a 0% tax rate. So that's, yes, there's moving pieces here, but you're on the right track.
So, well, yeah, because my question is, I know that our gross income would have us a 0% capital gain, but not when we add the gain on the sale of the house.
Exactly right. That's probably going to push you out of at least a portion out of the 0%.
Okay. That was my question right there. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's still going to be less than ordinary income, though.
Yeah, great question. You're dialed in there. That's
really a good question. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get back to Brian here about the different programs. And how does a member know which of the programs they're in?
Well, again, as I said earlier, it's kind of based on the hire date.
Okay.
So Tier 1, if you were hired before January 1st, 96, you're in Tier 1. If you're hired between 1996 and August of 2003, you're Tier 2. And anybody hired after that date, you're the Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan or OPSERP. But whether you're Tier 1, Tier 2, or OPSERP, you all have the IEP account where your 6% of your annual contributions are placed. And as we talked about, each PERS account or the IEP have different options there where you can take your benefits, lump sum, monthly.
Yeah, from what I've seen, the payout benefit on the PERS plans that I've seen have been very, very good for the person to take. We usually recommend a joint, a husband and wife. One of the things you never want to do is disinherit your spouse. It doesn't make good for Sunday afternoon dinners if you do, but PERS has done an excellent job in that. And then we usually recommend that if you have the IEP and you've put the money in that part you roll over and you control yourself.
Yes, I've seen a lot of members do that. PERS, on the PERS side, you mentioned option two, that's the 100% survivorship. There's half survivorships.
Yep.
There's single life. It's not uncommon to see a husband and a wife both take option one because they're both members in their own right.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned Sunday dinner conversation. Spouses do have to sign off on the member's retirement selection in front of a notary, so there's no surprises for anybody down the road.
Yeah, and just so our listening audience, we can take a quick break. We'll take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about that because I think this is something that a lot of people don't have that tough conversation, and you really need to have it. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com. 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Chuck Price.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. Brian, one of the things we're kind of discussing off-air and something that we talk an awful lot about when we meet with people who are in PERS, and that is taking the option of taking your retirement, either taking a single retirement or a joint life-type retirement. And one of the things we've always said is you don't really want to have that conversation at the dinner table on Sunday afternoon that you're retiring and you're going to disinherit your spouse if you die. But the fact is, we've had numerous people come in, and you probably have experienced this at PERS yourself. We've had people come in and one spouse passed away, and the other spouse comes in and says, well, I don't know what my benefit's going to be, and the benefit isn't going to be anything. And it's a very hard thing, but there are safeguards put in there, of course. But the best thing I will say to all of you couples out there, if one of the couples is on PERS or any other kind of retirement plan, and you're looking at your options for retirement, you need to consider what happens if the spouse who's protected passes away and if their portion is coming to the other spouse or not. And that's really a very important thing with PERS.
So basically, to recap, this is when a PERS retiree is getting ready to retire. They have various options on how they're going to take their benefit.
Correct.
And what are those options that would leave your spouse high and dry, or potentially provide for them after you're gone?
Well, on the PERS plan, tier one, tier two, you have 13 options to choose from. And some people say that's too many, and some say it's not enough. But seven of them are non-lump sum or monthly benefits for the retiree's lifetime. But it's all a question of what happens, as Chuck and you were saying, when that retiree passes away, then what happens? And then there's six lump sum options. But as far as the non-lump sum options, the monthly benefits, the highest one's called option one. But when that retiree passes away, there's no money left. You might live 1 month. You might live 30 years.
Well, Brian, I think we hit a chord out there because the phone tree lit up. We've got several callers calling in now with questions about PERS. So this is what we really want to have an opportunity to do. Sandra's got a question about PERS. Sandra, your question?
Hi. I am a teacher, and I wanted to know, I'm in tier two, and I wanted to know, when I retire, do I get the defined benefit and the IAP funds?
Yes.
Is that what you were saying?
Yes, everybody, right now, the way it's set up, everybody, you have two accounts, and you'll actually get two checks, and you can take a different payout in either account.
Gotcha. And can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
So I know that tier two is 60, you retire at 60, or 30 years of service.
Correct.
But I was looking at retiring at 58. I have 7 years of teaching years in other states. I have 3 in California and 4 in Hawaii, and I didn't get any type of retirement from them. And I was wondering if I could buy those 4 years back, and if I do I get that defined benefit like when I, as if I was 60 or 30 with 30 years?
Yeah, that's a great that's a great question. That's what they call a full cost purchase. It depends on whether you're invested in some of those other plans, but you can, theoretically, they do have a law where you could purchase that service time, and then it would be factored into your Oregon PERS benefit.
Awesome. So for my years,
yes.
It'll count towards my years? Awesome. And then so I could retire at 58 as opposed to 60.
Now, there is a cost to that, though, so it's a choice whether you want to buy it or not. But
right. Yes. And then so I would just have to
contact PERS.
And then they will give me my how much I would have to pay out.
Correct.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's a great question. I mean, thank goodness for Brian being here to answer that. I would have no idea.
There's actually like 16 purchases, I think. You can buy military time, out-of-state teacher time. The two most common, though, are the six-month waiting time. Everybody, when you're a PERS member, tier one, tier two, everybody serves a six-month probationary period before you become a contributing member. Well, you can purchase that first 6 months if you wanted to. So if you had 29 and a half years, you want to get 30 years retirement, you buy that 6 months, boom, you get your 30 years, you can retire. The other common one is you're younger, you had a small PERS account, you took a refund of it. Well, now you want to pay that money back. It's like 7.5% interest, I think. And then, a lot of people say they took 10 years out, they can buy their 10 years, they have 20 years, now they got 30 years. And PERS will give you the numbers. And I just want to say that PERS has great employees. They're very timely and accurate. I was very proud to work there. I started my consulting practice. The person is just so overwhelmed, they really can't have time to go into depth. And so I can just provide that additional context to people. I can meet at their convenience, wherever they want to meet at, if they don't want to go to the Target or Salem offices. So this isn't anything criticism about PERS. It's just to help the context, because even with all the good services PERS provides, it can still be very overwhelming or confusing to people. So that's what I'm trying to help.
The other factor is, there are tens of thousands of people turning 65 every day, and more and more people are retiring. Speaking about that, Gary's got a call, a question about PERS too. Gary, are you there?
Yes, I am. My question is my brother and sister-in-law are on PERS 1, and they live out of state. A few years ago, they lost their state tax offset, and now they're planning on moving back to Oregon. and I wonder if they'll be able to recoup that offset.
Yes, they will. It's a very good question. A lot of people don't realize that. For Tier 1, just as Gary said, Tier 1 only, because for the first, like, say, 40 years of PERS existence, you didn't pay state tax. Well, then the legislature passed a law, hey, they ought to start paying state tax. But because it was a contract right, you get anywhere from additional 1% to 4% to help offset state tax. So, but when you move out of state, you're not paying state tax, so PERS turns that off. But you move back into the state, they'll turn that back on.
Yeah, what year was it that they turned that off when for out of state? For a while, they got it out of state.
They did, you're right. The original legislation was in 95, and I want to say in about, 2010 or so, 12, is where they said, oh, we'll turn it off if you move out of state or you live out of state.
So would it, when they came back, would they get their COLAs on the amount that they lost starting in 95, or would they get it on the years that they were gone?
Yeah, they wouldn't get retroactive.
So it would go back to 95?
Well, no. When they move back in, they just turn it on again, but they don't do anything retroactive while they were away.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm on the city Portland Police and Fire Pension, and we have the same sort of thing, and they're out of state, and they were asking me about that, and so thanks for your help. And hi, Kevin, I'm one of your clients.
I recognize the voice.
I'll see you in a few next year, I guess.
Very good.
Okay.
Great
have
question,
a good day,
Gary.
Guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Yeah, that's what we try to do on our show, Brian, is to give people maybe a different spin on things or give them some knowledge out there, because we're very, very strong in the fact that knowledge is power.
I agree.
And, the thing is, we really appreciate Snyder and Gary calling and asking those questions, because there are probably another 1,000 or 2,000 listeners out there that are hearing the show, and they have a similar problem, but they're too shy to call and ask that question. So, really, I think when you call into a program like ours, when we have an expert like Brian here, you're being a part of public service to help a lot of other people, because a lot of the people are too shy to make that call. We're going to take one more last break, and then we're going to finish up with the Knowledge Trust. But we're actually going to, instead of the Knowledge Trust, we're going to talk to Brian more about PERS. We've got a bunch more stuff to talk about. If you're a PERS member and you've got a question, pick up that phone and call us, 503-417-9595, toll free 877-733-1011. We have a couple lines open, so give us a call. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Saving enough money for retirement can be difficult. Which path is best for your income and retirement goals? Having a solid financial plan is critical. Hi, this is Bo Caldwell from Price Financial Group Wealth Management, and I'm here to help. I host the live radio show Investing Simplified here on Freedom 970. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions, and all for free. If you need a financial checkup, call Price Financial Group Wealth Management today at 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. And tune in to Investing Simplified right here on Freedom 970. For more information about Price Financial Group and Investing Simplified, visit www.pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Experience, integrity, results.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now back to Chuck Price.
Well, welcome back. We're talking to Brian Harrington. And Brian, just before we start the segment here, I'd like you to give your contact information. So if somebody is out there and they need some additional advice on PERS, how they get a hold of you?
They can contact me, pebc.brian, B-R-I-A-N, @gmail.com. Or they can call me at 503-484-5837.
Yeah, and again, that's 503-484-5837. If you're a PERS person, you ought to write that number down and keep that so you have Brian as a contact.
So, Brian, kind of like you've been mentioning, when a person retires, it kind of like Social Security, if they get up to their full retirement age, it's a bigger benefit. If they retire early, it's probably a smaller benefit. Like Social Security, in the year that you retire, you can only work so much and not have to pay back Social Security. And then once you get past the year or so, you can work, you can make any amount of income. Any limitations like that on PERS?
Yeah, that's a great question. So upon retirement, if you go to take a job in the private sector, it's unlimited hours, or if you're receiving Social Security up to what Social Security allows.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to work for the public employer you retired from or another public employer, then it's a 1,039-hour limit that they have. So that's basically full-time for 6 months or half-time for a year. However, the legislature did pass a new law that takes effect July 1st of next year, where for 5 years they're going to sunset that hourly limit. They're going to remove it. But if an employer rehires a retiree, they've got to pay the contributions as if that person was still an active member. At the end of that 5 years, they'll review it, whether to keep that law, modify it, whatever. But until July of next year, it is a 1,039 limit. And if you exceed that limit, your benefit will stop. You may have to pay back some money. So that is something you want to keep mindful of.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's curious because I know of some people who were teachers who retired in Washington PERS. And then when they retired, they decided to come over to Oregon and teach in Oregon and start an Oregon PERS.
Mm-hmm.
Does that have any effect on that?
It shouldn't, because every system's different. So theoretically, they'd be, they're getting their Washington PERS, but they're out of the Washington system. Now they're in the Oregon system. So I don't know all the laws out there, but to me, that'd be two separate things.
Okay.
Is there a better time of year to retire as opposed to, earlier or later in the year?
Yeah, I think all things being equal, PERS averages about 400 to 500 retirements a month. But July 1st, that shoots up to 2,500 plus because that's when all the school people go. So if you're not a teacher or school employee, you might want to stay away from July 1st. Go like June or,
Just for ease of administration?
Yeah.
Just effect on your benefit?
Well, and the other thing is you should go on or before July 1st if you would like to get a cost of living increase in that first year of retirement. If you retire August 1st or later, then you got to wait till the next July to get the cost of living. The other thing is when the legislature, should they pass a new law, oftentimes they go into effect January 1st or July 1st. So say there's a law that might impact you January 1st, then you might want to go December 1st. And then if it's July, removing this hourly limit's not going to be a big impact. But if something were to impact you on July 1st, then retire by June so that new law doesn't impact you.
I want to go back to that part about the when a person sits down to take their retirement options, it's a conversation that you need to have together with your spouse, because that option of disinheriting your spouse, in order to take that, the spouse has to sign off on that, right, Brian?
Correct, in front of a notary.
Yeah, in front of a notary. So it's something you need to really sit down and discuss and figure out what is best for your budget, but not only for the budget, but for long term if something were to happen to one spouse or the other.
Yeah, so one of the things I like to ask my clients is, what is your health, the retiree's health, like? What is your spouse's health like? What's the age difference between the two parties? What other income do you have? The other thing that I strongly encourage people to think about is the health insurance. If you're pre-Medicare age and you're retiring, I know my own right, that's one of my biggest bills per month. But I've seen people who didn't do their homework and they were shell-shocked, the amount of that premium compared to the amount of their retirement check, and they were in for a big surprise. So think about your health, your spouse's health, and do your research when it comes to health insurance.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, that lady that called in and said that she's thinking about retiring at 58. Boy, I think if for her, hopefully there's another source of health insurance, because her health insurance premiums are going to be sky high.
Yeah, it could be. Now, maybe she has a spouse and she can be on the spouse's plan or something like that.
Yeah.
You can get a broker who can do research and check the market for you. PERS actually has a pre-Medicare and a post-Medicare plan, so you can check with the PERS folks or online about those options also.
It's still probably fairly expensive, though.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the state of the world right now.
Yeah.
Healthcare is a big thing, or the expense thereof.
Yeah. Very good. I was just going to, you stole my thunder there. I was just going to ask on the health insurance, because I see some 1099s that come in for PERS recipients. Some have health insurance, some don't. So is it mainly determined on the age that somebody retires, whether they have health insurance costs or not, or is it based on tier 1, tier 2, tier 3?
No, it's just totally just the market.
Okay.
Yeah, with the insurance companies they're charging. PERS doesn't really have anything to do with that per se.
Okay.
And then they do have the group coverage for retirees, and they enter into contracts with different health providers. But the cost is still the cost, and you know we know that's a big thing in politics.
But that's always separate for each entity, isn't it? It's not all one blanket.
Oh, no. Kaiser has its cost. Right. Providence has its cost. What kind of deductible do you have, right? Some plans have higher, you know, lower deductibles, all that. So, again, that's why I say take into account your health, your spouse's health, age difference.
Very good.
And I think we did discuss that. I'm just looking at my notes here. PERS benefits, are they subject to federal and state income tax?
They are.
To both?
Right.
Okay.
Now, if you move out of state, we mentioned you would, if you're tier one, you wouldn't get that little add-on to help offset tax, but there may not be a state tax in the state you move to. But I know there are some states that don't have state tax. So,
yeah. So again, how does somebody get a hold of you? And your business again is called Public Employee Benefit Consulting.
It is. Thank you.
Yes.
My email address is pebc.brian@gmail.com. And my phone number, cell number, is 503-484-5837.
Very good. And again, that's PEBC, as in Public Employee Benefit Consulting, .brian@gmail.com. Well, this is a great resource, I think, to add into the Knowledge Trust. This has been very
absolutely
informational.
You know, this affects 9% of the population of Oregon. So that's a big segment of people that are under PERS. And if you're a PERS member or you have a family member, virtually every one of us knows somebody or has a friend or knows a family who is involved with PERS, you want to have Brian's information ready to give to those people so they can get an additional resource. I think it's a really valuable resource. I think should maybe have Brian back on again maybe a quarter or so. And have them talk about PERS and what's going on in PERS.
Yeah. And in general, what's your fee structure, hourly rate, or?
$50 an hour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a steal.
I like to think so, but.
Yeah. No, that is.
And again, it's just to give that additional context and just help put the pieces of the puzzle together. It applies to you, not your buddy at the water cooler.
That's right. That's right.
How it applies to you. Maybe your buddy's in the different plan than you are.
Yep.
So that's what I'm trying to help accomplish.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that kind of goes right along with the stuff that we always talk about, and that is that you want to be careful where the sources you're getting your information from.
Right. Not saying your coworker or buddy at the water cooler is wrong. It's just that they're in a different plan than you are. So it helps to know what plan you're in and then go from there.
Yeah, but I certainly wouldn't plan my retirement on the buddy at the water cooler. And that's something we kind of talk about here on the show as well. Well, Kevin, how somebody get a hold of you?
We are at baker-colson.com. Our phone number is 503-666-5569.
And Brian, once again, your information?
pebc.brian@gmail.com. Phone number 503-484-5837.
And at Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we're redoing our website, and we certainly encourage you, if you haven't looked at it for a while or sign up for our weekly free email newsletter about the markets, please sign up at pfgwm.com. We're at 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. God bless you all, and we'll be back next week on Investing Simplified. Have a great weekend. Investing Simplified. Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called AssetLock. AssetLock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365 and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers AssetLock.
At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have asset lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get asset lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.